And readers will find compelling first-person accounts of Bolivia's historic water revolt and other interesting events. Another event that I wanted to tell you about was that Tufts University's Institute for Global Leadership and its Education for Public Inquiry and International Citizenship is going to have an international symposium called Cities Forging an Urban Future, which will be from February 18th through 22nd. And it looks really interesting. You can look at it on the website if you go to TuftsGlobalLeadership.org. And there's a lot of different events about slums, cities, and how to improve the world and through student action and stuff like that. So I guess that's all of our announcements.
Okay.
Kendra, do you want to announce? I guess we've already announced your...
Sure, but I can say it again. Reminder, that's next week, Thursday and Friday, 19th and 20th of February. We'll be selling the art for this Art for Water program called Satchayaku. That'll be at MIT in Lobby 10 under the dome. And information about that can also be found on our website, satchayaku.org, SACHAYAKU.org.
So that's all we have for you today. And we'll be coming back here next week with more interesting stories and news. So we'll talk to you next time. But if you want to catch us on our show or all the shows that we've done so far, you could visit our website, which is web.mit.edu/hemisphere. And just click on the archive section, then you can listen to our shows.
Oh, and the Satchayaku sale is announced there as well. So web.mit.edu/hemisphere will get you that information too. And of course, we like to remind our listeners that the views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT.
All right. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Adios.
Yo siempre lo amaré. Todo en un sueño, sin confesarle nunca mi tenaz quimera. Porque al tomar una expresión cualquiera, tan grande amor parecerá pequeño. Thank you.
مرحبا في Music for Human Being. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you. I'm very fortunate to have with me today the highly esteemed Professor Levine.
Nice to be here.
Welcome, Levine. Professor Levine is a mystical Jewish professor of Jewish mysticism.
Right, focusing on the early, middle, late, and medieval periods
of mystical Judaism.
And occasional prehistoric thought as well.
We are also fortunate to be joined by the inexhaustible Captain Hydrox.
Hello, Dr. Jalis.
Welcome, Captain Hydrox.
Good to be back.
And finally, the long absent but undiminished Professor Rico Fito Bonbiron.
Thank you very much for having me back. It's been a long time. It's been a while, yeah.
Professor Bonbiron is a professor of vegetation and horticulture.
Everything that grows from the land up, that's what we specialize in my group.
Well, we are very pleased to have you this evening.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always an honor.
And of course, horticulture is the study of plants, for those who are unaware.
Yes, yes. We study everything, the medicinal effects, the way people use them to sleep better, to live better, to be more healthy, to be one with nature.
To be more virile, too.
Oh, yes, very, very important. It's the most potent way to be virile is through healing of plants, through putting them in your body and letting them change you.
And that's really an important point that you make there, that plants are variously beneficial and harmful. There are carnivorous plants, omnivorous plants, intelligent plants. There are plants that can heal you. There are plants that can harm you. And there are even plants that, when properly nourished, will conquer the earth.
Oh, yes, yes. They'll take over soon enough.
Right, that's otherwise known as the weed.
The weed, which will
conquer our hearts and minds.
And other vegetation.
Of course.
It's interesting, too, because we generally regard plants as munificent in the earth, that they have an overall very positive impact.
Yes, yes. What would you say is your favorite plant? What type? Are you more of a roots kind of man, or you like the fruits, the vegetation, the top?
Well, it's difficult to say that I have a favorite plant.
You see, for me, the roots, the part that is inside the soil, I think it's the dirtiest, but the one the most with nature, the one that gives the most power to me.
Like carrots.
Oh, yes. I love those carrots. Big, long, and orange.
That's interesting, because in the 70s, there was a very powerful movement for people who wanted to see a future world with no vegetation at all, with just pure concrete everywhere. They thought it'd be safer.
Yes, it's amazing that we survived that. Imagine a world like that. It just wouldn't work. We wouldn't be here.
And really, what is it that plants offer us?
Oh, well, they open us the whole world. Without them, we wouldn't be able to be here. I mean, my chi would be completely gone if I didn't have plants around me. Once a day, I go outside and I have to have a plant. I have to touch it. I have to feel it.
Right, and I know of a very special plant that's called Salvia divinorum. It's a kind of sage plant that the ancient Indians, the American Indians, used to use for their dream quests and their visions.
And this Salvia divinorum is in the shape of a bird.
That's right, a phoenix.
And the size of the fruit is conventional fruit size.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the last couple of decades that we have lost the power of the plants. Before, everything, every medicine, but for women to give birth, they use plants to help them, and now it's all gone to medicine, to the modern world.
And yet, you know, in some sort of bizarre future, we may find that buildings are plants, that we plant a building and the building grows from a seed.
Yes, there are people who make actually chairs nowadays, that they grow them from the floors and from the ground, and they shape them into chairs and into tables while they're being grown, and it's beautiful.
Yes, topiary gardeners, I believe they're called.
Yes, yes. For the listeners who don't know about it, you should get into it, really.
Well, you know, it still requires quite a lot of attention from a well-trained gardener to form a chair or a computer from plant life.
Well, especially a computer, it takes a little while, yes.
But I envision a future where, due to advances in genetic engineering, it may be possible for an entire chair or perhaps even
a penguin, yes,
a billiards pool hall could be grown from a single seed, like an orchard.
Well, that's an interesting thought, because in some strains of Jewish mysticism, it's thought that the entire universe is actually a plant, and that God created a seed which then sprouted into the universe that we know. And some others have argued that the universe is perhaps more like the web of a spider, but I actually believe it's more like a plant than a spider web.
But this whole, you know, discussion is symbolic, because in some sense our technological advancements are seeds. They are ideas that form other ideas. They give birth to fruits which constantly are changing the world in a positive or a negative way. Earlier today, I was wandering the halls of MIT, and I encountered many autonomous mechanical metal objects called robots. And one could easily, you know, out of fear, envision a future where the entire world were conquered by robots. But I want to warn everyone not to be afraid, that we should love the you know, the robots and welcome them as new masters if they should conquer. It's simply a natural part of evolution. In any case, if any of our listeners wishes to comment on the seed-like nature of existence, then I encourage them to call in. The number is 617-253-8810. As usual, the show is not about our desire to disseminate our own ideas. It's really about the journey.
It's a conversation.
Our operator is indicating that we have our first caller. Caller, welcome to the air.
Hello, caller. Yes, you're on the air, please.
Let's try that again. Caller?
You're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to say computers and plants.
Well, yeah, I realize now after...
This show doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
It's not part of consciousness.
Well, I realize after saying this that it may have confused some of our listeners that the idea that a plant might be a computational device, but in reality, all of the universe may be simply computing the answer to some unknown question. After all, the universe operates under some laws. It's not chaotic. Every action, every existence, all has some meaning. And this might be the entire meaning or only one meaning. Some future existence that will finally yield an answer to some unknown cosmic question posed by...
You like carrots?
A carrot-like being, perhaps,
you
in
like
some
carrots?
Alternate universe. Is it Robert on the air?
This is the dirty carrot. What's your name?
It seems like our caller may have been ingesting some vegetation of his own.
Some dirty carrots.
At least one or two.
Caller, have you ever imbibed the ancient plant of Salvia divinorum?
I don't even know how you'd say that.
Salvia divinorum, which among its many unusual effects will cause your ears, when consumed in large quantities, to grow to 3 times their normal size, cause your urine to turn green, and cause you to sleep on silk sheets.
And to achieve a spiritual enlightenment also, besides the ear growth.
And Qatar month, sadly, the Qatar month is the only part that really bothers me.
Salvia divinorum.
That stuff, unnecessary.
Well, it grows, it's difficult to obtain here in Massachusetts, but it grows in some tropical climates. Its import is illegal in the United States, but if you were to travel to the Philippines, for instance...
Yeah, culture is cool in the way different people look at different things.
Where are you from, caller?
I'm from here, this area, where your fine school is.
What is that, Australia?
Sure. Australia is a nice place.
Tell us about yourself and your experience with the plants, with the carrots.
Well, in particular, I would be curious if you ever felt that you were...
Bugs Bunny ate a lot of carrots.
Yeah, if some sort of concept was placed or planted in your mind and sort of gradually grew. Let's bring another voice into this discussion, or perhaps not.
The number again is 617-253-8810. Give us a call. We want to hear your discussion about plants.
I think plants are a lot like cars in a lot of ways.
Like cows?
Yeah.
Yeah, and really this ties in well with our discussion of last week, which was on organic meats and the undesirability of eating them. And likewise, I discovered that there is a movement for towards organic horticulture.
I don't know what you're talking about. But go on.
Well, this concept that pesticides and other chemicals should not be used for the purposes of growing plants, that it harms the fruit and that it's safer and healthier and altogether more wholesome to consume plants that were farmed in a more conventional way. But my contention is that it may not be, certainly for cows, would not be the best thing to eat happy cows, that you should let the happy cows live.
Yes, the angry ones, suicidals, those are the ones that we must eat.
I don't really notice.
Well, and so then this brings along another question, which is, should we
allow euthanasia of cows? I believe if they really want it, we should allow it.
No, I mean whether or not apples, perhaps, for example, feel the same way. Let's bring another caller into this. Caller 3, welcome to the air.
Hi, I'm Emily Jordan. I was listening to your program, and I was a little peeved because you seem to be talking about euthanasia with inanimate objects, and, you know, it might be kind of silly to you, but some people actually have, you know, experiences with that, etc. I know, you know, a lot of people, when they're young, have to make a choice, you know, whether they are hungry enough so that they need the will from their grandparents, if they need that enough to pull the plug or not, you know, and that happens on a daily basis. There are tons of people living in trailer parks who just, you know, need to stop feeding their grandparents because they need to inherit the trailer so they can sell it for food.
So what's your viewpoint on euthanasia? Should it be legal or not?
I think it should be completely legal. In fact, I think, you know, once you're past 60, you really have to fend for yourself. You know, if you look at the tribes of old, you know, once you hit about 30, 35, your penis starts to shrivel up, your vagina's not making any more babies, you're pretty much left out in the cold. And if you can't fight, if you can't open up the coconuts, you know, you're done. And
actually,
I think it's terrible that we lost that.
Actually, that's actually not true. You see, the women, when they arrive in the menopause, they're there to take care of their grandchildren. You see, the woman can't take care of them because she's pregnant, having another baby. But the grandmother, on the other hand, is there to rear the children.
And
well, right. But the Aboriginals in Australia, what they did is the grandkids would not take care of their grandchildren or be taken care of. They, you know, in times of famine, they would have to eat their grandparents for sustenance. So, I mean, it's clearly like, you know, if you're past a certain age, you got arthritis, you know, get out of the way.
So thank you for that unusual viewpoint, caller.
Can you tell us when it's going to be a...
Let's bring another voice into this.
Hello.
Caller 4, welcome to the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for...
I'm interested in what the previous caller was saying about killing old people when they reach a certain age. One morning when I was watching the cable television, there was a documentary on about a plan. It was called Logan's Run, and it was about killing people when they reach a certain age. And I believe it was 30.
Mm.
I think that actually may be a good idea, because
why don't you just eat and quit like thinking?
Pardon?
Do whatever. Whatever you do.
Logan's Run, of course, was a film with Michael York, I believe.
Michael York, who is an underrated actor, underrated as a thespian. Did you see The Island of Dr. Moreau, the original, not the Val Kilmer nonsense, the original?
Movies have nothing to do with consciousness. That's just something petty for people to talk about.
What about, you don't think the study of Michael York and his works is serious?
all literature, all art, all everything that's
talking about
people
killing
is all
old women
towards consciousness.
Well, and it, I think this is sort of drawing us out of the original discussion. You know, the
plants are a lot like cars.
Yeah, in many ways.
No.
Well,
the asparagus to be a very angry plant.
Well, callers, there certainly are.
Oh, it tastes so good.
There are points of similarity between cars and asparagus, and there are certainly differences as well. But this idea of a seed in Logan's Run was particularly interesting to me.
Sorry, this is gay. Have fun with your television and movies.
Many great ideas in science have come out of the fiction realm.
Let's bring a...
Just to dismiss them because they came out of an area that's not traditional is, I think, simplistic.
Caller 5, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm sorry. I wanted to donate to Emerson Radio. What are you guys talking about?
We would have just...
Logan's Run.
Excuse me?
Logan's Run.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
And vegetables.
Is that the show tune? Logan's Run, right? It's Wolverine on Broadway.
Well, and yet it's all somewhat irrelevant, as our previous caller noted. Really, the conclusion is that we are all humans and that we are all looking for our parents, whether we are seeds or cucumbers.
Right.
I believe we're all eventually we reach a point in our life cycle where we are looking for sanctuary, whether we are a vegetable or a carnivore.
I mean, sometimes we are the sanctuary. You know, they used to pickle cucumbers by putting them inside the grandmother's bodies, who weren't eaten by their grandchildren.
Yes.
So we can be both the living person and the house.
And the pickle, of course.
And we can also be the pickle if we squeeze tight enough, you know. You've got to be pretty skinny.
I mean, you know, taking the analogy to its logical closure point, I'm not sure that I would, you know, as I am a sort of withered man, would like to be pickled.
I mean, I don't know that actually happens, but...
Oh, I have seen it.
Excuse me?
Well, I think Professor Bombiron is referring to...
Bombiron? No way. Bum? See, Bum in his name?
Bombiron. Referring to the pickling of dissected animals in formaldehyde.
Oh.
We use them as snacks in my culture.
So, this is not pickling because you don't eat it, correct?
Oh, no, we do.
Okay. When you're done.
Yeah, the concept of pickling, I understand, is for the purposes of preservation, whether for eating or for study.
See, pickled egg in vinegar is very tasty, but I don't think the pickled guinea pig would be very delicious. Because
well, you have to shave it first. That's kind of a silly thing to say. You've never shaved a guinea pig and pickled it. How would you know? You know,
really
the problem with society.
Well, callers, let's recall that in Peru, the guinea pig is a national dish.
I missed the last comment. I'm sorry.
Yes. And guinea pigs are delicious. I have skinned a couple of myself.
Not from formaldehyde, though. I find the formaldehyde to be very sweet.
Their butts are very, very nice after you cut them, and the meat is very, very soft.
You know, the interesting about guinea pigs is they're the only other mammals, other rodents, excuse me, besides human beings. They're the only other rodents who are lesbians, who have lesbians among them. And what they'll often do is they'll pair up, and you know they'll get shacked up with a single guy guinea pig or curious 4-year-old or whatever, and they will gang up and raise the babies as their own, even if it didn't come from their individual hamster cooch. And once it's all grown up, they sometimes will eat it anyway because they cannibalize their young from time to time.
Well, so, sometimes you get hungry, right? And, you know.
We all get hungry. If you're, yeah, especially if you're just in tubes all day.
Well, yeah, so it's fascinating that we discover analogs for human behavior in many places in nature. But
well, we all exist in nature whether we want to or not.
Precisely.
Well, I mean, I'm in a car.
Well, yes, you are in a car, but as our previous caller noted, there are many similarities.
Well, actually, I'm not in a car, I'm in an SUV.
There are many similarities between vehicles and plants.
Right, and another view is that we as humans might, in fact, actually be guinea pigs in some very large experiment. Some experiment of which the Earth is just a tiny part.
Let's bring yet another voice into the discussion.
That's heavy.
Caller, welcome to the air.
We all like to think that we have our own free will, but you're right, maybe we are pawns in someone's little science experiment.
No, not pawns. Guinea pigs, please.
Pawns?
And
I want to be a pawn. I'm moving on from rodents. Right, I'm moving into the world of chess now. You have to be able to evolve, follow along. Move with us. We're moving. We're not static. We're flowing through time and space. We're not stuck back on rodents. Let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah, let's let the show flow. So, Robert, welcome back to the air.
Oh, I don't know what I was thinking.
With regards to your comparison of motorized vehicular transport to vegetables?
Yeah. No, because I see so many nice car colors, so many nice cars when I go get my vegetables, and I just like it so much.
I've never seen a car shaped like a pickle. I have seen one shaped like a hot dog on a bun. Have you seen that one?
Right, well, I believe a hot dog is actually a form of vegetable.
Oscar Mayer Wienermobile? That's the coolest mobile ever. Is that an SUV?
Well, and another question is that another case of life imitating art or art imitating life? Or perhaps both imitating nature?
Or is it just a car shaped like a hot dog?
I mean,
you can look for connections, and there really aren't any. It's just what it is. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And yet sometimes.
Not all the time, but sometimes.
It is worthwhile to note. Captain Hydrox, in your travels, have you ever encountered wiener-shaped mobile devices in nature?
I think they go well with pickup trucks. I don't think they fit with the SUV type.
What you are saying is that the wiener-shaped mobile animals have developed concordantly with the pickup truck, like in a symbiotic relation.
I think by pickup truck, you probably meant pickle truck.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the correction. So, yeah, we go back to pickles, and I was wondering...
I just don't know that you would see a vehicle shaped like a pickle. I don't think there's much market for it. I don't think the average consumer would buy a pickle-shaped vehicle. I just don't see it.
Well, the pickle...
Excuse me? The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
So there is a market for that, apparently. But there is not the Vlasic Picklemobile, what I'm saying. The Vlasic Corporation has commissioned no such vehicle.
Well, I believe Captain Hydrox was referring to for example, caterpillars and worms that exist in nature and that are shaped like wieners in order to facilitate their attachment to pickup trucks. Caller, so we have a new caller, and we wonder if they have any insights into the wiener-shaped vehicle phenomenon.
Yes, I was just going to say that the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is one of my favorite mobiles, and I used to go out in the street and watch it go by, And I'd also like to say that there's this really weird thing going on with me and my partner, and he also has a lead.
That's fascinating.
I wanted to bring it back to the world of plants. I've seen that in the U.S. right now, there's a big attack on these plants. I heard, the famous swimmer right now, it's a problem for plants, for smelling the plants.
You feel like any uses of plants should be permitted within society because they are natural?
Oh, they're magical. They allow you to reach other levels of your soul.
Well, so do things like...
Pickles?
Well, there are many chemicals that have provide similar experiences. But I'm not sure that all chemicals should be permitted because salt is delicious. It's difficult for me to make a sweeping generalization about all anything.
But the new ones, the ones that are in the news now, I don't understand the problem with the swimmer.
I'm not familiar with this.
Do we know which variety of pickle it was? It wasn't the dill pickle, was it? The gherkin, maybe?
Maybe it was a dill pickle.
A dill pickle or a gherkin? Or maybe the bread and butter pickle?
Oh, bread and butter pickle. Those are good.
Those are good pickles.
Do we have a new caller on the line?
Yes, I'm a pickle briner from Northern Connecticut, and I would like to shed some light on the pickling industry. Some people think that it's really...
And we have another caller on the line.
Hello?
Welcome to the air.
Marhaban, Dr. Jalis.
Marhaban.
How are you, Dr. Jalis?
Well, you know, as usual, concerned with the issues of the universe.
Dr. Jalis, you are talking about plants.
About plants.
We love plants.
How come you don't talk about using the plant to heal some kind of sickness?
Well, Professor Bon Biron is repeatedly bringing up these points about plants and their medicinal qualities.
Yeah, but as you know, you are from the desert area, and Bedouin use all kind of plants to heal medicine, to heal some sickness.
Let's bring another voice into this. Caller 8, welcome to the air.
Hello, I'd like to speak about the medicinal uses of certain plants, actually. I have a lot of experience. I've actually gotten my BA in herbology, and I have nothing but good things to say about the medicinal purposes of plants. There's one plant in particular I refer to as the agave cactus, which I use on a regular basis to bound together wounds instead of using a Band-Aid. It's a Native American practice, which they would use after going to war, gathering cactus, of course, using the spikes in war, and they would use the agave after the war to heal their wounds.
Mm.
Of course, they would then use another medicinal purpose of a plant by passing the peace pipe around and forgetting about the plights of warfare, all of the images, the graphic violence that they endured on the battlefield, and they would forget about it through the use of medicinal plants such as tobacco and marijuana.
Yes, and Dr. Jalis, are you with me?
I always.
Well, I'm a very big supporter of medicinal marijuana. Very big. I'm so glad that Proposition 2 passed in Massachusetts because it's going to do wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things for our youth, especially when they start distributing it during the after-school programs.
Well, and there are many unusual natural substances that are used for medicinal purposes. When I was a child, we used the, it's a lost art, the eggs of the ants were used in a tincture to reduce the appearance of unsightly pimples in youth. And it's really it's a lost technique.
Well, of course, yes. No, I've heard of consequent and relevant practices such as using ground caterpillar to remove scar tissue on the body. It's an ancient family recipe. We've been doing it for generations.
It's and really the butterfly effect?
No, not the butterfly effect, no, but I have seen that movie, and Ashton Kutcher is something else. Am I right?
I don't know if you're right.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this Kutcher.
But butterfly effect is something highly irrelevant. It's a Hollywood movie that I have no interest in.
No, I mean the caterpillar, the butterfly emerging from the caterpillar.
Oh, I thought you were speaking of the movie The Butterfly Effect.
Well, no. I happen to be a strong believer that when one gets a wound or a cut, the best remedy is to immediately cauterize it with an open flame rather than using any organic substances.
Or in Boondock Saints with a kitchen iron.
Yeah, but there are several plants, roots. I heard you are talking about roots on this show.
Please continue. The roots?
Yeah, and these roots, like, for example, licorice roots, which is available in the area around the Tigris and Euphrates, and they get it, they get these roots, and then they cook it in water and make a syrup out of it and deposit the syrup on a leaf of orange. And they give it to the infant when they have colic pain. And it's really good. Also, it's good if you have allergy and you have your chest, tighten or something. So these licorice, when you take it like a candy without sugar at all, it can release all the mucus and you feel good.
And I think the syrup.
Chamomile also another kind of plant that can be used, and it helps when you have cold or stomach ache, and others like black seeds, and there are all kind of plants that can be used for healing. Thanks a lot, Dr. Jalas. Talk to you some other time.
Well, thank you very much, caller, for all this wonderful information on the. On the various plants and wherefore of the cures to colic.
And I believe the syrup made from that plant is also very, very delicious on pancakes.
Oh, yes, and on waffles, not as good, but it's also great.
And of course, pancakes, a traditional New Age breakfast food.
And dinner for some of us.
For the especially devout.
Oh, yes.
Well, we have two lines open, and our topic appears to be today
pancakes.
Various medicinal recipes and seeds and the dangers of plants conquering the earth. The call-in number is 617-253-8810. Caller, you are on the air.
Oh, man, pancakes? Yeah, buddy.
Robert, you have eaten pancakes.
Aw, pancakes? Hell yeah, man.
Well, let's bring another voice into this on the pancakes. Caller 9, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm just tuning in. Was
Is there a known threat of plants taking over the world?
Well, you know, it's something that one hypothesizes about. In many films and popular literature, there is this concept of a robotic mind taking over the earth, and often perhaps there is this unconscious view or feeling that it may be the result of some sort of reproductive system.
Right, and the largest known living organism in the universe is actually a large weed that lives in the rainforest of Brazil. It covers an area of 57.2 square miles.
So let's see if we can bring a caller in.
This is one weed?
One weed, yes.
Individual weed that has just grown?
One single plant, and it's growing every year, in fact, by several inches.
They are not giving it a passport or anything, are they?
No.
Hello?
Yeah, caller 11, welcome to the air.
My friend married a girl.
Howdy, this is Victor Flores down in Odessa, Texas. Just been listening to your show, and I think it's great.
Well, yes, thank you for your patronage.
I appreciate that.
We wonder if you have any contributions with regard to this killer weed that we were discussing.
The Michael Phelps situation?
The Michael
Phelps... Or just marijuana in general?
Professor Levine mentions that there is a weed in Brazil that is sort of just covering the area of quite a large area, one of the largest known organisms, which is simply a very, very large weed.
I don't know anything about that, but seriously, if the guy wants to get high, then that's his business. And, you know, he put away 8 metals, so just let him get high.
And, callers, are there any special plants that you can recommend from Odessa, Texas?
Hello, caller?
I believe this is the click of death, as it is known.
Hello? It's my turn to be on air now?
Yes, welcome back, Robert.
Ah, Robert, we missed you.
You guys are bored, aren't you?
We are bored, Robert. No, we're not.
No, it's fun.
Well, Robert, just this concept, it's interesting, but like there are all these contradictions in society all around us that one might criticize someone for smoking a cigarette and simultaneously not criticize someone for being grossly overweight, even though that's quite dangerous to your health as well. Likewise, it is commonplace and perfectly acceptable to be afraid that a robot may take over the world, but not have a similar fear about plants, which is really primal.
And it's what keeps us at bay, the fear of plants.
Well, we've been battling plants for our entire existence, and we really regard them as subservient to us, but every evening they produce carbon dioxide, they consume the oxygen, and they try to kill us every night.
Course, I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course, this would all be a moot point if it were true that the universe itself was one giant plant, in which case we've already lost.
And we will never get it again.
I don't think that's true.
Would we miss plants if they were gone? We seem to depend on them in a perfectly ridiculous fashion.
For our sanity, I believe.
Well, just for food and for...
Education.
For education and for wood and paper and rubber and... all manner of airplanes.
Recently, yeah, Dr. Jealous, people use plants as pets.
Pet plants? It's another...
No.
It's an infiltration of the...
I have my pickle pet, actually.
Well, if you want, whatever. And I just don't say it like...
And then there's plants sitting...
Plants are necessary for survival. We're necessary for pets. Plants are... I mean, pets are like we just want to like view us in our pet's image or something.
No, I think Robert has a point
here. You got a good one anyways.
Robert makes the point that rose bushes would disappear if it was not for the continued gardening of many old ladies all over the earth, because they serve no evolutionary purpose.
I don't know. I like plants. I like walking by. I like the suburbs and I like this country. It's pretty neat looking.
Or the ambiguously flavored chocolate mushroom. Chocolate orange.
Double.
Robert, have you experienced one plant sitting when somebody wanted to go for a movie and they didn't want to leave their plant alone?
Well, let's bring another voice into this. Caller?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. And glad to be included in the circle tonight. My issues with plants is they're getting a free ride. They don't pay taxes. They just, they're not particularly, active in society. You know, everybody, they get, you know, this wonderful treatment by hippies and tree huggers and all kinds of people saying plant this, plant that. And Al Gore saying, oh, you know, we gotta restore the, you know, all that stuff. And it's just not fair.
So what do you think we should do to plants?
Cut them down. Deforestation, pavement is the modern way. You know, plants are passe.
It's funny, I've never heard of someone being, I guess you should say, jealous of plant life before.
Well, you know, it's an interesting and unusual view, but certainly a valid one. I mean, one only needs to consider that one basic tenet of society is that one tells the truth, and plants never tell the truth.
Do you think we should issue social security numbers to plants to help with this problem of untaxing them and all that?
That's right. That's right. And put meters on trees.
And mandatory IDs for all plant life.
Yes.
And plants, this is the most outrageous thing. They live across the border in Mexico, and they send their little fertilized seeds across the border, planting them in Texas, and suddenly we have this huge invasion of Mexican plants.
Yeah, and they use our sunlight, they use our water.
And they use the fertile American lands.
They use the land. You know, it's too much. I mean, I, for one, am very angry about this. And
I once heard about
what... You guys lost me minutes ago. Wow.
Arriving from all the way from Europe, yes, and from Asia, plants in the air. It's really an attack all over the United States, and it's something we have to stop.
Well, I mean, Robert, I mean, you in particular, would you like it if a plant came out of Mexico and took your job?
I have a job.
Well, let me bring in another perspective. I believe that at some point in our eternal chain of lives, we are plants, and that we go through many cycles of being trees and blades of grass. So we really don't have to knock the lives of plants because...
Oh, wait, I'm talking to her. Yeah, I have a job. I got all those numbers, too. What?
I think it's an illusion to think that plants are not evil. You know, they don't respect boundaries. They, you know, just do what they please. You know, they're basically living off of us.
Well, do you think that's true for the weeping...
So many plants in New Hampshire.
The weeping willow is a very touching, poignant example of a plant, I believe.
It's a sob story. It's like, you know, wah, 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 you know, I'm a plant, ah, 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 I'm a weeping willow, you know, everybody should like, love me and stuff. You know, very romantic, very poetic. But I think that the essence of true spirituality is cutting these things down. I mean, you know, evolution through pavement, that's what it takes. And, you know, that's what Western intellect is about. You know, we've risen above these lower life forms.
Well, yeah, and another thing that I think people feel often is misaligned with the New Age is the idea that we should not leave something behind. And I think that really goes against the principle that the whole of our existence is natural. I believe that, the fact that we create plastic simply indicates that nature created us to produce plastic.
That's right. That's right.
Nature wanted plastic, and it produced us to produce it.
We have plastic.
And who are we to spit in nature's plan?
And if God wanted us to walk, he wouldn't have given us automobiles. You know, we're missing the point, people. I mean, the circle's got to, you know, expand our consciousness around
Well, until we get the point that the plastic that God, you know, gave us turns into the robot that he created for us, and we'll take over, and we will be the plants.
Into a future of planthood. Thank you, callers, for your attention and for the contributions. Thanks also to all of our listeners. And thank you to Captain Hydrox.
Thank you, Dr. Jealous.
And Professor Bombiron.
Oh, it had been too long. It had been too long since I came here.
Thank you for returning. And thanks also to the inevitable Professor Levine.
Inevitably, thank you.
Ma'a salama from Dr. Jalis Sakran. Music for Human Beings is New Age Talk Radio, WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. We're on every Friday at 7. Stay tuned for Night Owl. Ma'a salama.
Safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome to Night Owl, hoots hoots, on WMBR in Cambridge, 88.1 FM. It is 8 p.m. Friday night, fresh start to the weekend already. This is your hostess, Lou Cubed, and you know, I'm not here all the time because you know what? Night Owl is all about rotating fresh, creative DJ energies here at the station. So I'm glad to be in the hot seat for tonight. Right now is Dinky. I'm still obsessed with her. This is No Pressure.